Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest tonight is Ray Reese, who is a hypnotist and has some pretty interesting things to say about the whole process. So welcome to the show, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some interesting stuff for people to learn about today. And let me first give out the call-out numbers here, and then we'll get into who you are and where you came from and all that stuff.
Okay.
So our call-in numbers, for anyone who would like to ask some questions, are 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And international is 530-876-3222. And also, if you guys are too bashful to really get on the radio, don't worry about that. You can get on the BBS Fast Chat, and what you would do is click on the player, and it says Show Hide, put on Show, and then go down to the bottom of that little window and click on BBS Fast Chat, and I'll be keeping an eye on that in case somebody's a little too bashful to say anything on the radio. So, with that housekeeping stuff done, Ray, would you please tell the listeners about yourself?
I've been a hypnotist now for approximately 3 years, and went to school in San Diego, California, a very progressive school. And in the very beginning, they started teaching me about chakras and about the higher self and those kind of things, which I didn't associate generally with hypnotists.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of opened up a window for me to do some other things. And I actually went about halfway through the class and through some things that happened, I wasn't able to finish the whole course. Decided to just go out on my own. My wife was very supportive, and I hung my shingle out and I just started. And I found that the people that I worked with were probably my best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the best teacher I think I had was a man named George, who I worked with actually for about 3 years. In my school, they said that we should go out and find somebody who needs help and that they would be our best teachers. So I did, and I happened to find somebody that somebody was sent to me, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
That offered me a whole realm of opportunities to learn many, many different things. And in that process, I was able to stretch the sides of hypnosis and move into other areas and step outside the box, if you will.
Well, you know, I like stepping outside the box.
Pardon?
I like stepping outside the box.
Well, you know, I still don't know how wide the box is.
It's one of those paradoxes, you know.
I know.
There are no limits.
I know. Well, you know, it's actually as far as you want to stretch it. You know,
mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be, like I said, any sides to it at all.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing, and I think when you start applying the higher intelligence to anything, you're going to start to find, things that people are not normally associating with whatever it is that you're working on.
Exactly.
And what I'd like you to do is explain to the listeners what's different about the type of hypnosis that you do and, how are you using it as a therapist?
Well, I started off actually doing it kind of the regular way that a lot of people do it. It's straightforward, don't let anybody talk. You tell them everything. And then I kind of moved into searching for emotions. You know, everybody comes to you with some kind of a problem. Could be smoking, or it could be, a rash that won't go away or something. And I would try to find out what that was. And then I would put them into hypnosis, and I would ask to go to the root of that problem. And the subconscious, the way it works, and see, I think the subconscious is actually our soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the soul takes us right to the cause of our problems. And under hypnosis, these people actually get to see, like it's a moving picture, what's
mm-hmm.
going on. And then I look for the emotions because I can see it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see the emotions, then I start, you know, asking them what emotion it is. And sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's sadness. And when I do that, I ask them to hold on to that emotion. We can't change what's happened, but we're going to let go of the emotion. And I have them, lots of times I like to put it in a balloon and watch it go flying off, or they'll just let it float in the air and go. But getting rid of that emotion is really what holds us back in a lot of our moving forward.
Sure. Emotions are very painful.
Yes.
And, you know, you have that limbic system connection.
Yes.
Which makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners that aren't sure what that is, the limbic system is kind of a connection between our memory and our emotions in the current time. This is why you can hear some music and be taken right back to the time that you heard that music where you had a powerful emotion. You might smell the same smells. You might taste the same taste if you were eating at the time. It kind of involves all of your senses in a really, really rich sense memory, and it's tied to, you know, other memories and other feelings and things. So with this type of hypnosis, what I'm hearing you say is that you're able to reach those emotions and kind of defuse the ones that are causing problems.
Yeah.
That have maybe been buried too deep and people don't even remember what they are, but they're now causing present time problems, physical
yes.
problems, correct?
Yes, yes. And a way you can also decipher that is you can actually have them scan their own body from their head all the way to their toe and have them light up emotions that are locked in their body. Lots of times when things happen in our childhood or in other lifetimes, they do get locked in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have them starting from usually the head and going to the feet. I ask them to stop at each emotion, at each light, because they light it up in red. But they stop at each light, and then we go right into that light, which is the emotion. And they can actually see what the problem was, whether it was a fight they had with a child when they were very young, or whether it was a parent problem that they had. And it may be just as innocent as it can be, but as a child, it becomes something very serious. So they hold on to it, and later on, they push it. They push it down into their body. And lots of the problems we have as adults in our legs, in our arms, and that come from those emotions that are actually locked in, that are yelling for help, and we don't receive the messages, you know. And they can cause chronic illnesses and pain.
Mm-hmm. So now, how long does it normally take? I guess what I'm asking is how long would it normally take to release something that someone got in this lifetime that's maybe a moderate problem? You know, maybe they're feeling financial stress, which so many are right now. And you know, the normal thing that I remember growing up is parents saying, "Oh, you know, money burns a hole in your pocket. You have no sense, you know," and all this kind of stuff. And let's see, what were the other ones? You run through money like water, and things like that, or you have champagne tastes on a beer budget. You know, I mean, how many of us that are at least in our age group, you know, how many of us have heard those that we got from our parents, and they were just parroting it because they heard it on, you know, TV or whatever. Their favorite comedians, you know, and yet we took it within ourselves. And, you know, as a physician, I know that when people have back problems, it usually is financial,
yes.
Especially low back problems.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm wondering now, how long does it take to clear something like that from someone's subconscious?
Depends. So sometimes you can do the whole thing in one session. Sometimes it takes two or three. Depends on how connected they are to it and how willing they are to let go of it. You could get pieces of it each time, and then it would all be gone. Because I would, in a second session, go back to the same things that I was looking at in the first session, and just keep picking at it till I got it. Because they have a tendency to want to hold on to some things. When you were talking about the money situation, what they do is they hold on to things that were told to them by people that they truly respected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard for them to, you know, to let go of that. But they do eventually. They do eventually let go of that.
Yeah, because that, you know, I'm thinking two or three times is not bad.
No.
I mean, I know that there are quite a number of listeners out there that I've spoken to, you know, either on the phone or through email, who have told me that they're in desperate situations, you know. I mean, they have no money. They don't know how they're getting through. I mean, they're on state assistance or whatever.
Right.
And they're ill besides that. You know, it's kind of like everything has come crashing down on top of them, and they have no place to turn, and they're just in this hopeless situation. And so many times, you know, I kind of sit there and I think, wow, wouldn't it be nice if there was something that we could do to relieve that financial stress at least? And I found that a lot of times, you know, when people do relieve that financial stress, then that opens up the way for them to heal on the other levels too.
Right. And it's all in their heads anyway.
Well, yeah, it's all an illusion.
Not everybody knows that. It's all learned behavior. We've learned to think certain ways, and
mm-hmm.
we have to change the way we think. I mean, medicine helps us to in a lot of ways mask what we've been spending a lot of time thinking about. But letting go of things and changing the way we feel about them actually does the most to help us. I believe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, if you can change your perception, you automatically change the world around you.
Yes, yes.
And listeners, I have to tell you that Ray was over here at the office today, and we were trying to work on my mom. Now, my mom is 87 years old. Some of you may know that. And, you know, that generation has quite a few things wrong with them. They went through a couple things that just really blew their minds, and you know, they had to buck up and you know, somehow managed to get through it. But one of the things that really impressed me is that my mother was completely unable to go under, completely. And it's not that she can't be hypnotized. She's done that before. I mean, she had two children. My brother and sister were both, you know, through benefit of hypnosis and didn't have any anesthesia or anything like that. So, but what I know about my mother is that there have been too many shocking events in her life that she didn't want to see. And so she has no desire whatsoever to go examine that, whether it's conscious or barely conscious or whatever. So it's kind of interesting to watch all that and then to act as a surrogate to really see what was going on with her. And I know so many of the elderly patients that I have are the same way. You know, they've got it in their head that the world is only one way. And if you try to show them that there's more to it than they thought, it's kind of like the computer, you know, when Captain Kirk would, you know, give it a kind of a paradox to consider. It just blows their circuits.
Yeah.
You know, they just
I
can't
don't know if
look at it.
Everybody understands what a surrogate is.
Well, let's go ahead and explain that to them then.
Why don't you explain to what you did?
Okay, what I did was I acted as the person to go into my mother's psyche, into her subconscious, and basically, you know, ferret out where the problems were, because she would not admit to anything. She saw nothing, she felt nothing. You know, she was a blank. And Ray's sitting there going, "Okay, can you see this?" And she goes, "Nope, my mind is a blank."
I know.
And Ray and I are looking at each other, going, "Oh boy." And, you know, I've had that kind of reaction before with a psychologist that was absolutely unable to imagine anything.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I was laughing hysterically by the end of the session because the poor man couldn't come up with a feeling statement to save his life, you know. And I just crack up with that kind of stuff. But here's my mom, you know, going, "No, my mind is a blank." And she's this cute little 87-year-old. And you just kind of go, "Okay, now what do we do?" So what we did was we used me as a surrogate. And so Ray worked on me. You know, I went into the relaxed state and examined. And when you said, "Go in there and you know, find up where the emotions are lit up," I was like, "Oh, crap, it's like a Christmas tree."
<That's true.
laughs> Like, I don't have time to deal with this. You know, it's not my fault she didn't do her homework. You know, and I don't want to do this. And I mean, I was really feeling the stuff that she had gone through.
Oh, yeah.
And, we have a question from Rayanne. Rayanne has a question about What about sexual abuse as a child?
Actually, sexual abuse is something I work with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a few sessions to deal with that, but those are all unresolved issues that carry heavy, heavy emotions. Because as a little child, there's that whole confusion about why are they doing this to me, and no matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be resolved, but we have to get rid of those emotions. Those emotions are so strong that once they're released, you do accept the fact that it happened, but you can release the emotions that are still holding things in your body that could possibly hurt you. I mean, they're probably bothering her right now. But by releasing the emotions that are attached to that, she should be able to just let that whole thing go. I know it sounds too easy, but it's something that's happened in our life that we can't change. It's
mm-hmm.
there. It just can't be changed. But it will go away. But it will go
away.
It will
and I have to tell you, too, that I do some of that work in my practice. I don't do hypnosis. What I do is holographic memory resolution, which is kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you do relieve that emotional charge,
mm-hmm.
and you send it away. And so you still have the memory, but you have none of the hurt feelings or the betrayal or any of the heavy stuff that's attached to it. And it allows people to heal.
Yes.
So I think that whatever way you're going to get to it is important. And for these people who can't look into it, then the surrogate thing, I think would work very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to say anything. In fact, my mother went to sleep.
I know.
And I just kind of, went through there. And at one point I said, oh, boy, let's just, like, wipe all these emotions out at once, because I don't feel like pulling them up and feeling them. Because I was actually feeling the emotion that was attached with everything, and it hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, you did a great job, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. But I was like, I've had enough of this. I don't want to be the surrogate anymore. It's hard enough working through my own crap.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to work through hers, too.
Well, and do you want me to tell them about the other part?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When I was working with this man named George, he turned out to be, like I said, my greatest teacher. In one of our sessions, he says to me, Jesus is here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, okay, Jesus is here. I didn't, as a hypnosis kind of person, when people are under, I didn't really understand what they were going through. And when he said that Jesus was there, and he told me that Jesus had actually held him as a child while he was being molested, I just thought, well, maybe this is a figment of imagination and this isn't really happening. And just as I'm saying that, George says to me, Jesus is saying, you're wrong. I'm here. And I have to tell you, it blew my mind. It just totally blew my mind. I said, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot understand this. And then that happened actually with him quite a bit, that Jesus would come in
mm-hmm.
and we would get messages. And then later on in my practice, he told me about this bright light that would come in, this
mm-hmm.
gold light, this very bright gold light. And I'd say to him, well, what is that, George? And he'd say, gee, I don't know, but I think it's God. And I said, God? What do you mean God? And he said, no, I think, well, of course, everybody in every religion thinks of God as somebody different, I mean, God is just kind of a generic word for a lot of other people that people in other religions look at. But I knew what he meant when he said, for me, God. And then he started giving me messages from the voice. And I said, no. No. And I said, then I started jotting them down, and I realized that this was real. This was truly real.
Mm.
And that I was told that I was going to be someone who was going to be able to share with people the fact that God is within us. And the way that I could prove it was through hypnosis. That through hypnosis, I was going to be able to bring God into the session.
Mm-hmm.
And then God would take over, and that's what I've been doing that now for a long time. And it's not something you just run around telling people, because people will go, oh, sure, sure, I know. I say, well, you know, let me do a session with you and I'll show you. And then they come away. I've got letters that people have written me attesting to the whole thing.
And then I have another question for you. We have
sure.
a couple questions here on the chat.
Okay.
Rayanne is asking, she says, let's see, where is it? OD says, once you release the emotions, can they return? And then Rayanne says that she is absolutely incapable of visualizing anything. And then D also wants to know, can this be done long distance, or
oh,
must
sure.
the client be present? Those are good questions.
Yeah, can be done long distance. And the emotion generally doesn't come back. That's why you take two or three sessions to make sure. You have to make sure that the emotion, and you know that, you have to make sure the emotion's completely gone.
Yeah.
Being able to visualize it isn't always the same as what you think visualization is.
Mm-hmm.
Under hypnosis, it's a completely different place that you go to. You heard the Akashic Records and all that. I mean, you go to places within yourself that holds all those secrets and holds all that information. If you can't see it, you can feel it. All I need to do is, or any hypnotist needs to be able to do, is have you feel the emotion, because it's the emotion that's holding you back. If you can release that emotion, you've released the problem.
Yeah, exactly. The emotion acts like a block,
yeah.
like a wall.
Yes.
And the problem with normal talk therapy that I see, that I've always seen, is that it brings those emotions up and basically thumps them and makes you feel them completely
again and again.
Mm-hmm. And after a while, you get to rationalize or to intellectualize, you know, why you're feeling that way, but it does nothing to take the emotional charge away.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. This friend of mine, George, when I first met him, he told me he had been to all kinds of psychologists and psychiatrists, and nothing against what they do. They all do wonderful work. But he said that in the end, they ended up giving him a lot of pills that made him numb.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt so numb he couldn't deal with any of his problems.
Yeah, that's very normal.
Yeah, and then after working with me for a while, he was able to start releasing his medication.
Mm-hmm.
It was all done under a doctor's supervision, but he was able to actually release it one at a time.
Oh yeah, and you really have to get rid of those medications, because you have to have a full contact with your limbic system.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
You know, I've told many of my patients, we can't do the work unless you can come off the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And you never do that, you know, when you're in a really bad phase. You know, you work through it the best you can, and then you gradually go down. And you know, you try to use other things that are going to support. Like, I've been able to help people get off, you know, four or five antipsychotic medications, but I had to give them acupuncture every single day.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's because anything that I would give them that's natural is going to be an MAO inhibitor,
mm-hmm.
which can kill you if you take it with these new generation antipsychotics and
right.
such. So so that's an important thing to note. But you do have to be in the full feeling state to really work through this stuff and get rid of it.
Yes.
And now here's the other question. They want to know if this can be done long distance, or must the client be present?
No, it can be done long distance. It can be done over the phone.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to know. Also, at this point, why don't you go ahead and give them your contact information.
Oh, okay. My telephone number is 619-993-3805.
And do you have a website or anything?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Actually, I just moved to Sedona, and let's say I was guided to Sedona. I hear that a lot here.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I know it to be true, and I know that I know I'm here for a purpose, and I just love what I do. I'm doing what we call the work. We're doing the work, you know. We've come here to do the work, and doing that work is the best work you can do in the world, is helping others. That's what
it's not only that. When you come to Sedona, you come to work on yourself too.
I know.
And I mean, it rises up and hits you right between
yes,
the eyeballs. So
it, yes,
this
it
is
does.
A place for like very quick transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple more questions here too.
Okay.
Jesse says it'd be closer, better to be closer. You know, it's always better in person if you can do it that
sure,
way, but
sure.
what if you can't? And then there's another question, what if I don't have any obvious discernible feelings but still overeat and overspend?
They all come up. Those things will all come up. Under hypnosis, they all come up.
And then, let me see if I got this right and we clarify it for the listeners. So these issues come up, even if you don't know why you're doing it at the time, you will find out through hypnosis, correct?
Well, hypnosis, you know, let's demystify it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a misunderstanding. Well, lots of people have misunderstandings about hypnosis. Hypnosis is that place you go to every night when you go to sleep. It's the place between being awake and being asleep. You know, you know that place where you drift into before you go to sleep? That's the place where I need you to be. At that state, everything is accessible to you. You're able to access the emotions, the feelings. And when I talk to you in that state and I ask you to go to that place that's causing that, your body knows exactly where to take you. You know, it's a very smart body that you have. Those
mm-hmm.
atoms are working very hard to make this happen for you. And you go to that place where the emotion is, and then you let that emotion go. Overeating can be a number of things. You know, something that you told yourself. You know, they say how powerful the word is. I know a lot of you have read the Bible, and the beginning was the word. I believe that the word was a lot of our words. And how powerful our words are. That when we say things, it starts materializing almost right away. And I know that lots of times when people are going through pain, that eating is the way they deal with it. And in their minds, they're telling themselves that they feel better when they eat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start telling yourself things like that, it just automatically, it goes on automatic pilot. You know, and
mm-hmm.
at some point, you have to stop that. You really have to put a point in there and say, okay, this is it. The emotion that I used to do this is going to be gone. We can't do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You have to kind of tell your subconscious what you want.
Yeah.
We have another question here, too. How long is a session, and what is the fee for a session?
Well, generally, I get $60 an hour, okay? I'm not trying to gouge anyone. I just want to get what I get for the service. If it goes for an hour and a half, which is sometimes it does, depending on what it is, and it's $90. What was the other question?
That was, you know, how long is the session? What is the fee?
Could be an hour, could be an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Generally, an hour. I spend time in the first session, and sometimes, by the way, it's only one session. It depends on the severity here, but I talk to them. I try to get them to talk about what it is that's going on, how they're feeling, what kinds of things are they doing over and over again. I do some relationship stuff with people. They'll say to me, you know, I keep going out with the same guy over and over again with a different face.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's all part of the whole emotional thing. You know, you're, for some reason or other, you need to be with somebody like that. You're attracting them into your life. You know, if you put out these your chakras are working very hard to try to get you what you want. Remember, you know, we do attract everything in our life that we want, so we have to be careful what we are attracting.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point, especially nowadays when the energy is changing so quickly.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, boy, I think that if people had any idea how serious it is what they say to themselves.
Oh.
You know, I need to get the conscious languaging guy on here.
Uh-huh.
You know, because people are constantly telling themselves negative things.
Right.
And they don't realize the damage they're doing because the subconscious soaks it up just like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, okay.
I know with NLP they go into that in real depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how important the words are. Every word takes action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every word makes something happen. And you're right, people don't, they just don't understand. They don't understand, and they'll be talking about other people, trashing other people, and they don't realize that that'll come back to you. That
mm-hmm.
comes back to you. You can't do that. I mean, you really can't do that. You really need to, you know, you really need to pretend like you're walking around in God's body like you are, and behave that way, and you won't have that problem. I mean, you do share a body with somebody so wonderful.
Yeah, and we are extremely powerful beings.
Yes, we are.
You know, I can remember years ago I used to teach a class that I called metaphysical art or spiritual art, and I would teach people how to see auras, and then I would show them an experiment. And this was in Sedona, you know, so you would think people knew better, but I would show them that if you think something bad about the person, then you can see little brown or black balls coming out of your aura and drifting over to the person,
yes,
and
yes,
impacting in their aura, and they take it in.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, you can call it back, but you have to call it back to you, and it's already formed.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, just saying cancel doesn't work.
No, I found that out. That's true.
Yeah. And I hear so many people here go, oh, cancel. It's like, oh, it would be better not to say it in the first place.
No, it just, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you can't say it fast enough to cancel it.
Yeah. Oh, and also we need to know your phone number one more time, please.
Okay. 619-993-3805.
Great, thank you. Yeah, these guys are keeping me on my toes on the little chat thing here.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. This is a... You know, it's an interesting thing. I knew that when I was going to tell people that I was bringing God into my sessions, that people would just be so skeptical, you know. And I know that God knows that that people would be doing that as well. But you know what? I think God has always been accessible to us. I think we could always talk to God.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we get a response.
Pardon?
We get a response, too.
Yeah,
that's the important part.
Yes.
We just don't always recognize it.
Yes.
Also, I have another question for you here.
Sure.
They want to know if you're capable of reaching people who have been unresponsive to healing work.
Well, I'd have to find out. You know, I'd have to talk to them and see what's going on. I mean, if I talk to them, I wouldn't charge them to talk to them. If something was really bothering them and maybe they weren't at some point willing to release it, you know, I'd pretty much be able to tell them. But I'd have to do it by talking to them personally and just seeing, you know, where they are.
Yeah,
you know, I can't. You know, there's no guarantees because people that are willing to let stuff go, pretty much, and you know the same thing yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, people that are willing to let stuff go will let it go.
Right.
You know, it's all up to the individual. It's nothing to do with anything else but you. You know, you are the person who releases things. You are the person who makes them happen. And, you know, what we need to do is think more about what we're saying before we say it, and we won't have to do this as much. But, yes, it's possible... to do this, but I would like to talk to the person first and find out what it is they're working with and how they're feeling about it and go from there.
Yeah, and the thing too, you know, I've often said that not everyone wants or needs a healing.
No.
And, you know, I find people all the time that come in here and throw money at me and expect me to fix them, and they don't really want to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that. I look at them and I go, okay, I understand that you're saying that you want this, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
And they still want to throw money at me, and I tell them to go away.
Sure. You know? Well, look at the attention some people get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they get a lot of attention, if you're a lonely person and you're getting a lot of attention from a sickness, you know, why would you want to lose the sickness? I mean, that's what a lot of people think. And
oh,
so
yeah.
They won't release it.
Exactly. And that is in the unconscious. We have another question. Can the subconscious keep a person from letting go?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that I think we're in control of everything. And I think that the subconscious, what it tries to do is if it's holding on to something, if it's holding on to an emotion or a feeling, you know, it's just there. And
mm-hmm.
releasing the emotion that's attached to that, the emotion, the subconscious will just automatically let it go.
Mm-hmm.
When I've not had that problem, so I, you know, I don't know what to say other than that, but I've not had that problem. I've not really had that problem.
I think if you look at the subconscious as the servant rather than the master,
that's right.
I think that might help listeners a little bit, because
yeah.
The subconscious really was never meant to be the master.
Right.
The subconscious is supposed to be the servant.
Yeah.
And so the way it was explained to me years ago is that you must address the subconscious, and you can ask it, you know, what do you want to be called?
Mm-hmm.
And I just call it my subconscious or my unconscious,
mm-hmm.
or something like
mm-hmm.
that. But basically you address it and you say, hey, subconscious, listen up.
Yeah.
This is what I want you to do now. And the subconscious should only be responding with, yes, boss.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And that should be it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we don't do that anyway. We don't, as people, we don't talk to ourselves. You know, we
mm-hmm.
don't realize that all these atoms that are inside of us are all intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that everything in our body was made perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that we can talk to ourselves, like you're saying, and get responses to things.
Yep.
You know, we can get it through feelings. You know, if you're a sensitive person, you can feel it. You know, if you're not sensitive, you still can feel it. You know, it's that whole thing about how do I feel about a certain thing? Sometimes when you get around certain people, you have certain feelings about things. So you have to use that intuitive feeling that you have to make decisions in your life, and we'll all make better decisions.
Yeah, I agree with that very much. I think if we don't listen to our intuition, that's when we get into trouble. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a lot of lumps on my head from the celestial 2x4 from not listening. So, I mean, I have to wear my hair long to cover up the lumps, you know. Yeah. And so I can tell you, listeners, that, you know, intuition would be a really good thing to listen to.
Yeah.
And I finally gotten to that point now where I pretty much just automatically react to my intuition, because I've realized that it's never wrong. And if you're out there listening and saying, huh, well, mine's always wrong, then what I'd say is you need to practice it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the more you listen to it,
yeah.
the more you get good at discerning that still small voice, then the better your life's going to
yeah.
be, because you'll automatically be going down the right road rather than, you know, making dumb mistakes by letting your conscious polluted decisions
mm-hmm.
affect the natural flow.
And I think a lot of people just don't trust their own feelings. You know, they
oh, yeah.
have to run around and ask 10 people about it.
I think we have a caller here.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi there.
This is Scotty.
Hey, Scotty, how are you?
Hi, Scotty.
Hi. I wanted to actually kind of put a thought forth and ask your guest a question. He's been saying that he brings God into the session with the hypnosis. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Hi. This is Scotty. I'm sorry. What was your name again?
My name is Ray.
Hi, Ray. Well, I have a question. Don't you believe that the creative life force is within all of us, the God force is in all of us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if it's within us, then wouldn't it be maybe more appropriate to look at that you're able to assist the patient or client to access their God self rather
exactly.
than you're bringing in the God into the session?
Yes. I agree with you 100%. I agree with
you. So it's helping them to access their God self.
That's right.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, I just wanted to make that point.
I do believe that. Maybe I didn't, I'm a little nervous, so maybe I didn't say it quite the right way. But yeah, I've always felt that I'm just assisting people to talk to God within themselves. It's already there.
Well, that's wonderful, because that can be very, very powerful in helping them to change, to bring forth that or manifest
yeah.
that God self
yeah.
in a more conscious and public way for themselves.
Yeah, yeah, more empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. I totally
okay.
agree.
Okay, well, thank you. That's all I wanted
well, no,
to say.
You so, thank you for calling.
Thanks
all right,
calling
thank you.
Scotty.
Thank you, Dr. Valley.
Yeah, that's a very important point.
Yeah.
That this is not about becoming dependent on the therapist.
No.
But rather that you get more into contact with your own God self.
Yes.
And we are all part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well,
I mean, you always know the answer.
Sure, we're all attached to God. We all have it. We all have the ability to do that. And I think Scotty was perfectly right. You know, maybe I assist them. Mm-hmm. And if I do, I love doing that. Assist them in actually contacting the God that's already there, that's already within them. I remember doing a session not that long ago, and I should have a lump on my head. not that long ago, I did a session where I said the same thing that I just said about God. And in the session, the voice said to me, I'm already here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to bring me in anywhere. I'm already here. I said, oh, geez, I knew that.
Yeah, it's a good reminder.
That's not new. I know.
You know, I find that the difficult part for me is knowing where to begin talking to someone. Because, you know, people come in and say, well, you know, I believe in this and that, you know, and what do you think? And I kind of look at them and go, what level do you want me to talk to you on? You know, I can play the game on a lot of different levels. And I understand, you know, where people are coming from at different levels. And I think it doesn't do any good to talk above them.
Yeah,
you know, I think that we have to meet each other at whatever level is conducive to communication.
Right, right.
And so, you know, it's not about, you know, knowing something more than the other person. Rather, it's about, you know, how can we communicate? How can we touch heart to heart and soul to soul? And, you know, how can we help each other to then become more of who we really are, which is the God self?
Yes. I think that's why we're here.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's kind of a fun job, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I love it. I think this is the best thing you can do in the whole world is help others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully, you know, there's a lot of people out there who will start understanding that they're here for the same reason, that they're here, that we've all come here to do something really special and to allow that to happen in their life. You know, allow that reason that they came here to surface so that they can start doing their work as I am and as you are and many others are doing it.
Yeah, I think more people are waking up to that now.
Yes.
And I think that whatever it's going to take to help them to overcome the obstacles is what needs to be done. And for some people, that's going to be hypnotherapy. For other people, it's going to be drumming circles. You know,
yes.
For other people, it's going to be going to readers who give them, you know, one or two little things that kind of trigger things. For other people, it's going to be, you know, really paying attention to the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You know, every person's different.
Yeah. And I think everybody gets what they need if they're willing to accept it.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
That it will come to them. I know the kind of work you do, I actually have done some investigative work on what you do,
mm-hmm.
the kind of work that you do, and I think it's very special what you do.
Oh, thank you.
You know, somebody told me it's at one point I was talking to a naturopath doctor down in California, over in California, and they said that what they do is they try to make a silver bullet. You know, they listen to and they look at all your body and they try to put together some medications that they're all natural, but just for your body
mm-hmm.
to help you get better. And I thought, God, we've been waiting for you. You know, we've been waiting for you. I didn't even know you existed. You know, and I just am so excited that you do.
Well, you know, and that really is what has to happen. Each person has to have their own individual recipe.
Yes, yes.
You know, and like I tell people when they come to see me in my office, I give you shotgun therapy.
Yes.
I'm going to throw everything at you that I intuitively feel and mentally or whatever way, you know, feel that that's going to work.
Yes.
And it's the synergism of those parts
yes.
that actually causes the healing. And you know, I'm not healing anybody. Basically, all I'm doing is I'm removing the obstacle to cure.
That's right.
And then the body heals itself.
Yes, it does.
And it's the same thing whether you're dealing with somebody mentally, emotionally, or physically.
Mm-hmm.
All that any of us are doing is going in there and we're removing the obstacle, and then you get to heal it yourself.
Yes.
And the rest of us just kind of get to have some fun watching the process happen.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, I have to say I really love what I do. And, you know, I get to dally with quite a few different modalities.
Yes, you do.
And it's quite rewarding when somebody looks at me and says, you know, you saved my life.
Oh, I know.
I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that you know, a number of other people couldn't have done, because there's lots of us naturopathic physicians out there now. But
mm-hmm.
it's just that feeling of knowing that by listening to your intuition and taking
right.
the medical knowledge and things like that, you're actually able to help somebody. and to remove those obstacles so the body could just do what it had to do.
That's right.
And we do the same thing with the mental-emotional stuff. You know, when people go looking for help through hypnosis or whatever way, there's a lot of different techniques. They're really saying, you know what, I can't live here anymore like this. I can't live in this state of mental capacity or incapacity. I can't live in this state of emotional pain, you know, and I need to let go of this stuff, and I know that it's holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've already made the declaration, whether consciously or unconsciously, they've made that declaration that, hey, I am ready to heal now. And they start looking around and going, what can I do? What appeals to me? What do I feel is going to work? And I always tell people it's really important to talk to whoever your therapist is. You know, no matter what you're going for, even if you're going for a massage,
yeah.
You know, talk to them, find out how they work, and intuitively feel if that's going to be a hit for you.
Right.
There's a chiropractor here in town who is amazing, and he does a lot of removal of implants and things like that, and does a lot of spiritual medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll check. He uses kinesiology, and he'll check to see if his vibration and what he can do is going to match with that person that's calling. And if he doesn't feel a match, he won't take him on as a patient.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting. I wish I'd done that with a few people that I took on. I wouldn't have taken them on.
Oh, I know.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to, both as therapists and also as patients. You know, my listeners know I go try all kinds of stuff out because I'm always looking for the truth.
Yeah, you are.
You know, not my truth, but the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm always looking for the progressive step for myself and for other people. And, you know, I found through my own search that sometimes it takes a lot of different modalities and a lot of different people. You need maybe a little piece from each person.
Mm-hmm. And I think that like what you're saying is very true, that what either one of us do is important, but there are other pieces as well. You know, what you eat is important. Your exercise is important. It's like the triad of life.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, mind, and spirit. I mean, if you're not, and I know people have heard this over and over again, but I know it to be true. That if people change the things that they're doing. And try to make them more healthier, their thoughts and their food, that they do live longer, they feel better, and they don't have as many problems that they need to come to me and see.
Mm-hmm.
If I can help them, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, is when you're treating yourself well, then you're sending a signal to your subconscious that, yeah, you know, I am important.
Yeah.
And I am doing everything that I can to help myself, and give me some other hints. And it's like this the quantum slimming program that I'm doing right now. You know, I have people that are able to tap into the live broadcast and actually utilize those energies. But I tell them, you know, yeah, you'll lose a little bit of weight doing this and doing nothing else. However, if you really want to be successful, you have to have the weight loss tips and you have to implement at least one per week.
Yeah.
You have to be able to say, okay, I am not going to make myself feel deprived. You know, I'm a worthwhile person, first of all. I'm going to take the 15 minutes once a week at least, but hopefully once a day. And, you know, I'm going to concentrate on what I really want. And, you know, I'm going to eat only good food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell people the easiest thing to do is drop out all the crappy junk food. You know, go to a really nice restaurant and get something you really, really want and just eat half of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's those kinds of things that as you start doing them, and you need to do them for 21 days at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever kind of change you're trying to make, listeners, you just do that for 21 days and then it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start to speak to your unconscious or your subconscious by doing those kinds of behaviors.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, I'm valuable.
Right.
I'm worth actually healing. You know, I'm worth living a good life. I'm worth having happiness and success.
And I think through our addictions that we learn, you know, because I think... For me, I spent a lot of time when I was younger in one addiction or another. I mean, I'm not alone in this. A lot of people have done this. And that's how I found God, is because I knew that the only way that I was going to be able to get that close to God was to make God my addiction. And I
mm-hmm.
know that, you know, a lot of people think that might think that that's going overboard. But you know what? I found that that doing what I do and feeling like I feel has never made me feel better in my life. I feel connected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that connection is life.
Yes, it is.
And I think that, you know, if we can get that one point across to people today, we connect through our minds and through our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people don't always get the heart connection. You know, it's kind of nebulous.
Right.
But we are all connected in our minds. That's how we all know what's going on all the time.
Yeah.
And we feel dread at certain times, or we feel sadness when, you know, when things happen on the earth, because we're all connected.
Right.
And, you know, because we are in our mind, and really the only reality is, you know, the whole holographic image, then, you know, that makes all of this make more sense. And, like, one of the questions we have here is, how can Ray do hypnotherapy at a distance? And another comment is, hypnotherapy is related to your mind. You don't need to be in someone's presence, which is true.
Yes, that's true.
You know, basically what you just need is that mind connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our minds are so powerful.
Well, and we're all one anyway.
Yes,
you know,
we are.
It's, when I'm on the phone with somebody, it's like I'm sitting right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
The connection, especially today with the, you know, with the kind of communications that we have, if I can hear them on a phone and I can talk to them, I can take them where they need to go. That's the way it works. And there's a lot of practitioners who do things that they can do on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know I've talked to people on the phone and had them say, wow, you know, this is just amazing. How can you do that on the phone? And I think, you know, that's an interesting question.
I know.
And it's really easy because, you know, the phone doesn't exist any more than these bodies do.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And we're really just kind of playing, you know, we're playing in our minds.
Yeah.
Yep. And
it's all about raising consciousness. I mean,
yeah.
You know, what more could we ask for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to get off here. We're
okay.
At the time. So let's give your phone number again, Ray.
Okay. It's 619-993-3805.
And thank you so much for being on. We have been
talking
with Ray Reese about hypnotherapy and bringing God into the session by recognizing that God is already there.
Yeah.
And I hope this has helped you, listeners. If you have any further questions, please give Ray a call, or you can drop me a line or call me up at the office. You know, I'm pretty available to most people. And thank you for listening. And as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Thanks for being on, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Nighty-night.
Awaken the dream. Awaken the dream.